I thought we might reflect this evening on the Holy Father's intention for the apostleship of prayer for the month of August. Realization by modern man that the joy of the Lord is your stronghold. Realization by modern man that the joy of the Lord is your stronghold. What is the Pope saying? Note, it is modern man who needs to have this realization. Because while the need for recognizing that in the joy of the Lord we have all our strength, the need was always there. But in modern times, it is especially important because there are so many substitutes for the joy of the Lord. You name the promise of happiness and the modern world is offering it. In other words, there is so much promised happiness apart from the Lord, independent of the Lord. As the Pope reminds all of us to look to the Lord to give us that joy which is the final source of all our strength. We hear so much nowadays, and correctly, about the prevailing secularism, where, as you know, secularism simply means this world-ism. Modern man is so satisfied with living here and staying here. In fact, we've extended the lifespan in the United States, to just mention our own country, by no less than 24 years. Latest figure I've seen, 230 million Americans. In 1982, these 230 million people are assured 24 years longer life in this world than our forebears 82 years ago. It seems we can't live long enough. There is so much to keep us. May God forgive the people who think this way. There is so much to keep us in this world. Secularism, against which this month's intention is directed, is the philosophy that claims we have only one life, the present one. There is only one rational world, the present one. And the more we can squeeze out of this world in terms of satisfaction for the mind, 12 million Americans next month will be enrolled in college courses in our nation. In satisfaction for the emotions. After 8 years in New York City, my Jesuit confreres warned me not to tell other New Yorkers that I've never been to an opera or a ballet, because they'll think you are a Midwestern barbarian. I'm sure they get a lot of emotional satisfaction out of paying, as I've been informed, $25, and not for the best seat in the Metropolitan Opera. This world offers satisfaction for the body. You name the senses, and people are spending millions to satisfy that sense. Let me begin with the least likely, the nostrils. On my flight in from New York on the Northwest Airlines, an ounce of perfume, and specially priced, $27.50. The only reason we've had 1.5 million abortions in our country last year is because people want bodily satisfaction in their sex organs and are unwilling to accept the consequences of sexual intercourse. So this couldn't be a more timely intention for the apostleship of prayer, that modern man might realize that the joy of the Lord is your stronghold and not the joy of this world. Well, that's only introductory to what I want to really share with you. It is not only that the Holy Father is reminding modern man and asking us to pray that people find their joy in the Lord and not in everything else but the Lord, but it is also that we, who, thank God, are not secularists. I wouldn't be here and you wouldn't be here if we followed a secular philosophy of life. What does this joy of the Lord being our stronghold mean to us? Well, I have 4 things it should mean. We are told to realize that the deepest peace and joy that we can experience this side of heaven is in doing the will of God. God wants us to experience positive joy in His service. How do we know? Well, that's all the Beatitudes are about. 8 norms for being happy. Happy are those who, and happy are those who. As you read those Beatitudes, however, beyond the first part, blessed or happy are they, and you read the rest of the sentence, you say to yourself, no wonder there are so few people, relatively speaking, who are looking for joy everywhere else but in doing the will of God. Fancy finding joy in poverty. Person might well tell us, you're joking, you can't be serious. Beatitude in being poor. And yet, doing God's will brings peace and joy. What does the joy of the Lord mean as our stronghold? What gives us strength? Isn't it the satisfaction we get out of doing something? And the more we look forward to being satisfied in whatever the enterprise may be, the more satisfaction we even anticipate, the more strength we have in carrying through, no matter how difficult the task may be. And conversely, there is nothing that more surely weakens our will, dispirits the human soul, and can even break the human will, is the pain, the dissatisfaction that doing whatever we're supposed to do will cause us. See what you think of the following statement. We would never do anything for God unless we experience some joy in doing it. Don't you think that's true? Now the level or the depth of that joy, well, maybe so deep we'd wish it were more on the surface. But the joy is there. What a husband won't do, see, with a young wife and growing family, sweat all day, is. I know when New York will travel an hour and a half. On the cattle cars cold, the New York subway trains. Because the satisfaction he experiences deep in his soul, that he's doing something for someone he loves. In other words, this joy of the Lord being a source of strength is no poetry. It's common experience. I have no reason to doubt the figure I quoted in Virginia about 2 weeks ago in a homily that I gave. Last year there were 400,000 attempted suicides in the United States. Clearly, some people had run out of strength in facing the trials of life. And the tragedy is that if you don't find joy in the Lord, and the trials and vicissitudes of life, well, enter our lives, we have all we can do as human beings to hold on. That's the second thing that this intention should teach us. Our greatest strength in the spiritual life should come from joy in the Lord, from Him. Third lesson. Are there degrees in this experience of joy in the Lord? Of course. If the peace and joy in the first place are assured only those who do God's will, now this is second grade arithmetic. The more you do God's will, the more joy. How's that? No higher mathematics there. In other words, already this side of heaven, God wants us to anticipate the joys of heaven by giving us that important petition of the Lord's Prayer. Let's say it together. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That, I'm not sure, I guess it's an adverb, as. Christ told his disciples, and through them was telling us. Everyone knows what heaven is. At least negatively, it's the absence of sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, but perfect, endless joy. Very well. What we are praying for in that petition is that we might do God's will as will on earth as we should be doing it. And the more perfectly we do God's will, we're going to experience a foretaste of heaven. In other words, if we do God's will as well as we can on earth, we're going to have a foretaste of the joys of heaven. In heaven, everybody does God's will and is happy in doing it. So when we ask to do God's will on earth as it is done in heaven, it is done in heaven perfectly. What's the reward? Perfect happiness. So, the more perfectly we do God's will on earth, the more perfectly happy we're going to be. That's the third lesson. To strive to do God's will as well as we possibly can, because we were assured on Christ's own words, "You do my will, and I will do yours." That's the most perfect definition of happiness. God doing our will, satisfying what we want. But nobody cheats here. We glorify Him by doing His will, and He will beatify us. What words we're using in doing our will. Because all pain is the experience of something we don't want. It's that simple. It is also that painful. God will give us satisfaction, peace, joy, serenity. And when you run out of words, sweetness. Sometimes I wonder what the ancients who used the word sweetness as we have it, for example, in the Psalms, what sweet things they must have had compared to the sweetness that the genius of modern man has concocted. All of that God promises us, provided we do His will. Now, in doing His will, we'll have to struggle. We will have to carry the cross. We'll have to suffer. Do you mean that we can have happiness along with suffering? Or joy in carrying the cross? That's right. But I don't understand. My friend, neither do I. But you better believe it. Christ spoke of my peace, remember? My joy that He wants to give us. That's not a casual, phenomenal adjective, my this and my that. It is the peace and joy that you're going to get on my terms. You pay the price, and you will have the experience. And with the experience, you will have such strength as only the martyrs could talk about. Well, we have one more lesson to learn from the Holy Fathers. General intention for the month of August. Let me repeat lest we forget. Realization by modern man that the joy of the Lord is your stronghold. I'm here in a chapel for you people. Is it every day after Mass unless there's some change in schedule? From after Mass, 7 o'clock normally, and benediction normally at 5. And although you have nice surroundings in the vicinity, there is enough sacrifice in your lives, I hope, for you to say that your joy must mainly come from the Lord and not from, well, an easygoing, leisurely, pleasure-studded existence. For one thing, neither you or I, and certainly not you women, you would not be dressed the way you are unless you sought your joy in the Lord. The fan helps a little bit, but just a little bit. It is 7 years now that I have been teaching Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity contemplatives. 5 hours every Thursday. And by now I think I know a little more about the contemplative life than I knew 7 years ago. The most important thing you need is to believe you are serving an important purpose in the church. Needless to say, millions, only God knows how many of the 4 billion people on earth are estranged from God, living in sin, and getting whatever satisfaction the world can give them, but apart from the Lord. In one sense, provided you remain faithful to your vocation, you've got it made. So when I came in for Mother Bernadette's funeral, there was no great sorrow, except, of course, over the loss of a great handmaid. But faith tells us heaven awaits us. Having sought joy in the Lord in this life, we are assured eternal joy with the Lord in the life to come. But you're not here only, or I wouldn't say mainly, for yourselves. You are here to pray and sacrifice for others, and among those others, especially priests. I had a 24-hour layover in Pittsburgh on the way from New York to settle some problems that needed to be arranged. I offered Mass in one of the Pittsburgh parishes, 9 o'clock. I have to remind myself where I was on what day, yesterday morning. And after Mass, I complimented the pastor on his nice church and fine furnishings. And then he proceeded to tell me about some of his sorrows. Just a few weeks ago, like maybe mid-July, a young assistant was assigned to the parish. His name was given in the diocesan paper, and he was welcomed in the parish bulletin, and they were planning a celebration in his honor. The assistant called up the bishop. I was not consulted. I don't go to that parish. Scandal. My driver in Virginia was a mother whose brother left the priesthood. He's in New York. Family just crushed with sorrow. I don't have to tell you, you know, that your vocation is mainly to obtain grace for priests, that they might realize that doing the will of the Lord is the source of their joy and the only real strength they are to look for in this world. In other words, the last of the four lessons of this month's intention speaking to you is that you might, especially during this month, beg the heart of Jesus to melt the hearts of those of his priests who have the stupendous power of changing bread and wine into the living Christ, to find in the Lord their joy. And because they find their joy to receive from him all their strength. It's not in my notes, but I think I should mention this. I would ask you to pray for the future of the apostleship of prayer and the League of the Sacred Hearts. As you probably know, for the first time in 96 years, this January, the monthly leaflets are not being distributed in the United States. Many reasons. Financial. What's money compared to the great good of 1 million leaflets were distributed each month? And now for it's the eighth month, have not been given to the faithful. That's why last Wednesday I was called by my multimillionaire friend, Mr. Harry John, to come to Milwaukee to make sure I'd get there. He sent me my plane tickets to and fro. I was told, and whatever ride you need, use a taxi and bill me. We spent the day in Milwaukee on what to do to preserve and promote the devotion to the heart of Jesus in our country, because it is running into very deep water. That priests who bring the heart of Christ onto the altar might find their joy in serving Him and in promoting devotion to the Sacred Heart among the faithful. You might see that's a fifth lesson, but I would rather call it a footnote to my conference this evening. Pray for the future of the Sacred Heart devotion in our country, that the Lord might inspire many priests, beginning with members of the Society of Jesus, because this is part of our institute to promote this devotion, because a great deal depends on how devoted the faithful are to the heart of the Son of God who was pierced on the cross for our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.